This morning's passage was inspired by a conversation you had with a caller on the radio show last night. And it was talking about how the difference between pain and suffering, and how the reality of pain is contained in love. And when we're present to the pain, and the love can contain the pain and the heart remains open. But when we're not present to the pain and we move to a conditioned relationship with it, then it causes suffering because it's all about me.
Yes.
Right? And so the passage this morning is actually a quote from one of Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh's essays. And it says, "Times of great sorrow have the potential to be times of great transformation. But in order for transformation to happen, we must go deep to the very roots of our pain and experience it as it is without blame or self-pity. This pain is not to make you sad, remember. That's what people go on missing. This pain is just to make you more alert, because people become alert only when the arrow goes deep into their heart and wounds them. Otherwise, they don't become alert. When life is easy, comfortable, convenient, who cares? Who bothers to become alert? Remember, the pain is not to make you miserable. The pain is to make you more aware. And when you are aware, misery disappears."
Beautifully and succinctly stated, huh?
Yes. Yes.
All right.
So let's see. Go ahead, Cherry. Sorry.
Well, I was just wondering if people needed to hear that again. We often read things twice. It's long, but that doesn't mean we can't hear it again. So would if anyone is unmuted... can give us that feedback?
I don't think anyone is unmuted, Cherry. So maybe I'll
let me make the decision then, because I would love to hear it again.
Okay. "Times of great sorrow have the potential to be times of great transformation. But in order for transformation to happen, we must go deep to the very roots of our pain and experience it as it is without blame or self-pity. This pain is not to make you sad, remember. That's where people go on. That's what people go on missing. This pain is just to make you more alert, because people become alert only when the arrow goes deep into their heart and wounds them. Otherwise, they don't become alert. When life is easy, comfortable, convenient, who cares? Who bothers to become alert? Remember, the pain is not to make you miserable. The pain is to make you more aware. And when you're aware, misery disappears."
It's such a powerful point in practice, isn't it? Because in my experience, and I hear from other people, the hardest place is to stay alert when we're not in pain, when things are easy and comfortable. So it really does... to me, speak profoundly to where we are now. So, shall we see? Did you have anything about that, Ashwini, or are we ready to hear from folks?
I am ready to hear from folks, but the place that I actually find the hardest is to understand that the pain is not to make me miserable, right? It's to make me alert. And that the ability to stay, it's what you were talking about yesterday with two of callers on the show. One is, that part of what we have to face is how it is. I think it was with the caller around women in power, right? That we have to face the disappointment. The pain comes from the place of having to accept the way things are, and then recognizing that the depth of that experience for us is the depth of how much we care.
Yes. Yeah. It puts us in touch with the depth of our own caring.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's our first caller.
All right, thank you.
You're live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Christine. Hi, Christine.
Hi, Christine.
Hi. I love to be reminded of that we, the reason, well, to be reminded of how much we care. Yeah, and actually I'm not clear about what to say about the quote that I heard right now. Yeah.
Well, what do you have to say about whatever is going on with you right now?
Okay, thanks.
Because that's what we're that's sort of our aim with this gathering each morning or afternoon, depending on where you live, is to help us put what's going on in our lives into sort of a spiritual perspective, which of course is what we're always trying to do in practice. It's just that, as Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh pointed out, there are times when we see the importance of that more clearly than others. And this is one of those, right? And this is one of those spiritual opportunities that we want to take advantage of. Here's an opportunity for us to transform at a deep level, and we want to take advantage of that opportunity. Are you there?
Oh, I think she got muted.
I'm unmuted now, I hear. So, can you hear me now?
Yes,
Christine. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay. So, one subtle thing I was noticing is right after the election, a friend posted or sent an email out to a lot of their friends saying that she wanted to send more love out. She wanted to take the approach that I was interested in taking also, so I jumped on board and to send out more love and to know that we're all in this together. It's not us and them. I wasn't interested in any of that division stuff. And it's been interesting just noticing that, of course, my heart wants that openness and we're all in together and sending out love and we care, you know, that's, we care. We all care. That's why we voted the way we did. We care. Either way we voted, you know, we do care. I think more than people notice, maybe some people think we do vote just for ourselves, but actually we vote for our families, we vote for our kids, we vote, you know, it isn't just about us, more than people realize, I think.
Uh-huh. And so you're right on board with the, let's stay in a place of love, take let the energy that's in us be energy of love, and then use that energy to move forward, to support, to strengthen the things that we care about.
Yeah. Yep. And then noticing all the places where ego is trying to get in there and to take it away, you know, as the day.
Always.
Yeah.
Always. Yeah. It's comforting to realize, isn't it? No matter what the circumstances are, egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is going to be trying to run the same game. So we don't have to be surprised about that.
No, we don't have to be surprised. And it's helpful for me to remember and to practice that excited feeling of, yes, I'm interested in the unity and the love.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly so. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, so I guess what's happening, right? I think there's a delay in our speaking.
Okay.
Oh, you're good, Christine.
I'm not sensitive to that, but that doesn't mean anything other than I'm not sensitive to that.
Okay. I was just going to say one more thing, which is ego lately is saying, well, the love, great, you're all united, great. What's that's it? I guess ego wants to know what's next? Like, how is that going to help the people? How is that going to be good for humanity? It's saying, well, who cares? That's nice. And that's it. Yeah.
Well,
that's what it's saying lately.
You're right.
I know I don't.
It's good for us to keep in mind, too, that ego is about doing, right? And doing is oftentimes just a conversation in the head. As long as the voices are carrying on, people feel like they're doing something because that's the message that ego gives. And so what we want to do in practice, of course, is to be still. So we come back to center. We feel that expansiveness, the loving kindness, the non-separation, and then we let life drop in for us what is the next step, which, again, is how we're living our lives every day, right? Mm-hmm. We're always coming back to the breath, to right now, to this, and then what now? What now? What now? And we will have that direction if we stay present. Otherwise, as you're indicating, ego would like to just drag people into just do something. And that's not where we want to be in practice. So we're not going for the just do something, anything, out of a sense of urgency or something wrong or something missing. And we're not going into quietism. We're not just saying, okay, well, I'm going to find a cave and I'm going to just hang out there and let the world go by. We're never taking either of those directions. I mean, we do. Okay, we do. But we know it's not the direction that we want to be choosing. It's one that happens to us when we get taken over by ego.
Yes. Yes, thank you. I love that. Okay, thank you so much.
You are so welcome.
Thanks. Thank you again,
Christine.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, so I'm going to try to get another caller on, Sherry.
Good. All right. Thank you.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, everybody. It's Jodine.
Hey, Jodine.
Hey, Jodine.
Can you hear me? Okay, good. Well, thank you for these calls. This is the first one I've been able to join. And you know
that they are, for anybody who wants to keep up with the conversation, they are being posted. So you can always catch up with us in your spare time. Yep.
Great.
And, Jordine, the URL is love.livingcompassion.org.
Great. Okay. So my kind of journey through the past week or so has been very interesting because I am traveling right now to a family reunion for Thanksgiving, and I'm from Kentucky, and a lot of my family lives in Indiana, Kentucky, and Florida, and so I am on a little tour through Trump land, basically. for the next couple of weeks. And I just kind of wanted to relate this experience I had with my mother yesterday because, I don't know, it just seemed like kind of like what I was, what we're going for, quote unquote, but it just happened like really naturally. My mother is widowed and lives alone. So she often listens to the radio and television. And she and I were eating dinner, and I think she knows that I'm not a big TV person, and so she had muted the television while we were eating, but was just kind of watching it in the corner of her eye. And then it got to this place where she said, "Oh, you have to see this," like one of her favorite spots. And it was a newscast, like a news commentator on a news channel that I never watch. And he was interviewing people who didn't vote in the election. And so I kind of, you know, when she unmuted the TV, I just kind of, you know, cringed internally. But then I watched it, and it was actually funny. Like, you know, we kind of had a chuckle about it. And then she muted it again, and we went on with dinner. And I was just like, it didn't seem that big of a thing. But then the next day I was talking with my coach about it. And it, like, it was a big thing, you know, because my mother made a gesture, you know, to me, which was like, "Oh, I know you probably don't like this, you know, or you don't listen to this, so I'll mute the television." But then when she kind of couldn't restrain herself, you know, I was willing to go there and watch it and see what it said, you know.
And your cringing, it turns out, was actually unnecessary.
Yes.
Which is an important part of it, too, isn't it? I mean, we brace ourselves against a moment that we haven't experienced. And we can see how conditioning does that to us. The belief is it's somehow taking care of us. But we get to see how it actually takes care of conditioning.
Right. And actually how, like, the reason I was cringing is because, you know, conditioning the week before had taken me through that moment, that very moment, you know, in a fantasy world of its own, you know, where things got ugly.
Yes. Yeah.
Which, like you said, like, didn't happen.
Right.
And so, so I just, I was just really touched. And then through practice, I even got it, like, deeper. The potential right now, because these are, like, topics that normally when I'm visiting my family, we, like, tend to avoid. The quote, just briefly, the quote that was read this morning about when I'm in awareness, misery vanishes.
Yes.
And I'm, you know, really experiencing that and grateful for that.
Yeah. All right. Good. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you, Jordine. It's just so such a those are the movements that make the difference, right, Cherry? The awareness that we're all reaching. I think it's what Christine said too. We're all reaching for love, however that movement is, and to honor each of those movements and hold that in our awareness.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. To see the love beneath the conditioning, I guess is what we're going for in ourselves and in one another, to stay in that love
and let that be, oh, seeing through the eyes of love. That's what this is all about, mm-hmm. isn't it? And mm-hmm. and looking for love, and
yes.
And then treasuring these moments when we really can see it, find it, feel it, and come mm-hmm. together in the way that has been described. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, here's our next caller. Next caller,
right.
You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. This is Pasha. Can you hear me well?
Yes, yes. Yes, Pasha, we can hear you.
Oh, great. I had some technical issues. I was in a kind of breaking down speech, but it seems working well now. I'm so grateful for these calls, and I've been with them every day. And this is part of my daily practice now. So I appreciate that.
Most of us, right, have something that we endeavor to do every day to start our day with practice, and a lot of times, unless we're doing one of the group coaching calls, you know, mornings with mentors or something. Of course, I don't know that that actually takes place in the morning. I realize as I say that, but very often, what we're practicing with is something that we're doing on our own. In that sense of it's not a group occasion, and so starting off the day like this, I really like it. I really like it myself.
Yes, mm-hmm. And I thought it's I don't have like a kind of issue with kind of what's going on, and I joined because that's just an opportunity to practice, to be with Sangha, to be with people. And as I'm practicing, not watching news, I don't really know what's going on. And I hear from these calls and from other people. Of course, I heard when it happened. I guess because I'm not in the news, when people start talking about news, I feel like kind of opens the Pandora box, and for me, and conditioning wants to jump in and quench that thirst of news. And get involved.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Conditioned mind loves that kind of the world of opinions. I've said so many times recently, I think mm-hmm. because of the email class, the Sun Tzu Ming quote of don't seek after enlightenment, simply cease to cherish opinions. Mm-hmm. And with something like this, we really get to see how our opinions are right there and ready to jump to the surface, as everybody's are, right? So
mm-hmm.
we get to see how it turns into just a frenzy of egos expressing opinions, which doesn't take us to that deep place that's possible where life guides us to live in keeping with our hearts,
mm-hmm.
right? So you know, the possibility that always exists is for people just to go to the other side of the duality. So I have to be very engaged and opinionated, and conditioned mind is just spewing about what's going on, or I'm going to go to a place of I'm just not going to be a part of this. I'll just turn my attention to where I want my attention to be, and then that will be that. And very often, at least in my experience, I find that that is not the direction that life takes me in. I will admit to anybody who asks me, it's a very appealing direction for me. I love I love simply being present in the moment, just being in awareness, feeling that interconnectedness of all life. But the path that I'm called to, it would seem to me, very much involves other people.
Yes.
Right? And so I'm not one who's going to say, ignoring what is happening around me is a direction that I want to take, right? So how do we come back to the moment, to the present, to love, to that expansiveness and loving kindness and generosity that we know is life, and then how do I move forth from that place? How can I accustom myself so to life guiding me that's where I turn for direction? We could say almost automatically, that's where I turn for direction instead of our habitual turning to conditioned mind for it to do what it loves to do.
Yes. And what was helpful for me is that email class on communication and interacting with people around. Now I'm with the assignments of kind of asking them questions and not going with conditioned assumption. And that reveals a lot. I'm more often surprised by how the assumptions is just not what people meant to say. And
yeah, so when we sound so obsessive about unexamined beliefs and assumptions, when we actually have a chance, like with the email class, to test it out, you know, mm-hmm. to see, so this is what I'm assuming about somebody, and then I actually engage with them and find out what's going on and find out that the assumption is just completely out in left field somewhere, right?
Yes.
It's such a deep help for us in our own practice, right? Because, again, that habit of looking to conditioned mind as the authority, we're listening to information that is so inaccurate. Now, there are a lot of people, of course, who would say, that's one of the problems with the modern world, is that there really isn't any place to look for accurate information. Mm-hmm. Egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, greed, hate, and delusion are so alive and well, not just in our culture, but in all cultures, that where do you look to find out what is actually so? Where do you turn to get good information? Well, once again, nothing has actually changed. We look to the same place we've always looked for good information, and that is to the present, to the moment, to the heart, to authentic being, to that which is, to all that is, that which animates, the intelligence that animates.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's where we turn for good information, mm-hmm. not to the assumptions and beliefs and projections and shenanigans and nonsense of conditioned mind.
Yes, I'm finding myself connected with people who are having completely opposing views. Connected in the sense of understanding them and just being with them and trying to understand, because what I find in conversation is often people would say something and didn't finish their sentence as if I'm supposed to kind of understand the rest, as if it's a joke, you know, and they don't want to tell me like a complete joke to make it flat. They are not finishing sentence, so I guess by convention, that's, the rest is obvious. And I'm supposed to be in that conversation saying, I see that. But quite often, I don't see it. So in this practice of asking further questions and clarification, I found conversation takes me completely like new direction, unknown to conditioned mind. But also in the process, I am connected with people. I talk with what turns out to be like a Trump supporter, and it's surprisingly human kind of connection. So, and then I talk with somebody who is like, we have to go and do the protests, and then I found the human connection there too, and it just doesn't add up in the conditioned mind, with whom I agree or connect,
Well, because to me what you're saying, Pasha, that I think we can all take, and then I think we have to go because we're at the end of our time, is that there are two orientations that human beings have. One is here, present, centered, in the moment, and one is off in egocentric, karmic, conditioning, self-hate. And we all know that in ourselves. And it's what we struggle with. We struggle with that eons-old tendency to go with ego, and we're trying to get back here to the present, and so is everybody else. So if we realize that, we don't need to be fooled when somebody is completely identified with egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. We don't need to say that, well, that person is coming from a loving place. No, because we know in ourselves, when we're identified with egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, we're not coming from a loving place. We're coming from a completely self-absorbed, self-centered place, right? So we don't want to pretend that it's all the same, because it's not all the same. And that's the importance of us getting to a centered place so that we can be looking for and coming from the unconditional love and acceptance that is, from my perspective, the authentic nature of all that is.
Yes.
Right? Which I think is what you're pointing at. So, which is very good, and a good note for us to finish this morning with. And since today is Wednesday, that means tomorrow is Thursday. Notice how I did that. And that means that we can get together again. So I hope you all have a lovely practice day, coming back to center and choosing unconditional love and enjoying life and being grateful for each moment. So take care.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Kishore.
Thanks, Pasha. And Sherry, to close out this wonderful conversation, when we don't have the ability to look to conditioned places to mirror ego, because that's sort of what, there's a vacuum here. What do we listen to? Because what the media is saying and doing is looking at all that's negative and what's going wrong. That we are required to turn to ourselves and look at ourselves for mirrors, or mirrors in life that mirror authenticity, not mirror ego. And what an opportunity.
Yes, yes. Beautifully stated. Yeah. Yeah, very true.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody.
Let's do it again tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, Israni. Bye.
Take care, Sherry. Bye-bye.